You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Show. My name's Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you get financial independence, quit that J-O-B, that just over broke job, by investing in real estate. And in today's show, I'm super pumped to share with you that there are many different types of asset classes that you can invest in real estate. You can even buy land for pennies on the dollar, flip it, and make a lot of money. And my expert has been doing this for years, and he's going to come on the show and share us how he does it and how you can do it as well. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast, where we talk about investing in real estate with a special focus on making enough money so you can quit your job and live the dream life. And now, here is your host, Dustin Heiner.
What's up? Super blessed, as always, to have you here with me on the show. Now, I got to talk a little bit about what is going on right now with mortgage rates and terms, not just the rates, but the terms as well. So interest rates have been coming down, which is really, really awesome for most people. But not us as investors. We actually want interest rates to go up. Now, you might be thinking, oh, wow, Dustin, that just sounds dumb. Why would we want the interest rates to go up? Well, here is a reason why we want interest rates to go up. It's because it prices out our competitors. Well, you might be thinking, who are our competitors? Well, our competitors are not other real estate investors like you and me. The reason why I have the show is because I want more people to own real estate. I don't want big companies like BlackRock and these big institutions to, you know, buy up all these properties. I don't want that. I want me and you. I want regular, everyday people to become financially independent and own real estate. Now, what happens is when interest rates go up, it prices out our competition, who are homeowners. Homeowners, they can't afford to buy real estate because when interest rates go up, then prices must come down. That's the best thing for us. Prices come down, interest rates go up. And the thing is, a lot of homeowners, or most homeowners, they're thinking, man, interest rates are so high, I don't want to pay that interest. Well, you and I, because we're investors, we realize we don't pay the interest, meaning we don't have to get a job to pay for the interest that we're going to be charged for from the bank to buy the property. No, our tenants are. They're the ones that pay us the money, and we pay out all of our expenses. And mortgage is one of them. So we want prices to come down and we want our interest rates to go up. Now, the opposite is happening. Interest rates are coming down, which is good. Don't get me wrong. It's really good for everybody, the economy and all that sort of stuff, but it hasn't come down a lot. Now, here's the new thing that's actually coming about. I'm not a fan of. In fact, you should not be a fan of as well. So good and bad, take it or leave it. However you're going to look at Trump, he's the president right now. But what I'm seeing right now is he just came out and said, we're going to make it a 50-year loan now. It's not just a 30-year loan anymore. It's going to be a 50-year loan. Now, at first glance, most people, especially people who have no clue how mortgages work, how money works, they'll be thinking, oh, yay, my mortgage is going to come down or my mortgage payment's going to be lower. Well, what's going to happen is you're actually going to be paying like four times as much in interest. So let's say you're going to be buying a $400,000 house at current interest rates at a 30-year mortgage. Well, your payments are going to probably be around $2,600 a month. Now, if you bought it at a 50-year loan, your payments are going to be about, let's just round numbers, $2,300. So you might be thinking, oh, wow, I'm saving $300, or I'm not saving, but like I'm paying less, $2,300. So I'm saving $300 a month that I'm not paying out. Well, here's what it comes down to. You're paying over 50 years. The first few years, when you have a 30-year loan, the first few years, you're going to be paying about $300 to $400 a month towards the principal, which is how much you owe, and the rest goes to interest. Now, with the 50-year loan, you're going to be paying about $50 towards the principal, and the rest of the $2,300 is going to interest. And that is what is going to destroy the wealth of the people. Now, in Switzerland. I went to Switzerland back in 2018. Took my entire family, went through Switzerland and all of Europe. It was great. It was 11 different countries in a 6-week trip. It was so amazing. But I found out in Switzerland, prices are so crazy that they have multi-generational loans. Hear me when I say that. So 30 years is bad enough. It used to only be 10 or 15 years, but then they extended it to 30 years. That's why prices have gone up so much. Now they're wanting 50 years, but we can see where this could potentially go. In Switzerland, they have multi-generational loans where those loans are like 200-year loans. So you pass it down to your kids, and that's the only way that you're ever able to buy anything. And what's sad is when you have a 50-year loan here in America, well, then prices are going to go up because people think, well, I have more money to spend now because, you know, I was normally going to be $2,600 a month. Well, now it's $2,300 a month. That's my mortgage for a 50-year loan. I can buy a more expensive house. That raises prices up. Ugh. So what I'm saying is I am not looking forward. I'm hoping and praying against a 50-year loan. And if you are going to be investing or if you're going to be buying a home to live in, do not ever get a 50-year loan. In fact, I love the 15-year loan. The 15-year loan I have on one of my properties right now, it is absolutely amazing because in 15 years, it gets paid off. And then all that cash flow doesn't go to the bank. So sadly, and it might be Trump, it might be his handlers or, you know, whoever is in control and all that sort of stuff, they're just basically giving all the money to the banks. And so what I'm doing is I'm praying that we do not have this terrible thing of a 50-year loan. But here's the thing. When you're a real estate investor, you take the good and the bad. Meaning, if prices are great, interest rates are great, terms are great, then we take it. But at the same time, there will be times, especially when they're, you know, 50-year loans and terrible interest rate, terrible prices, there will be properties for us to buy. In fact, one of my students just bought a single family home. It's cash flowing, I think, like $350 a month, which is going amazing. We do this all the time. I got thousands of students now. And if you want to join my 5-day challenge, I have a free 5-day challenge. Go to masterpassiveincome.com/challenge and you'll get in my free 5-day challenge. I'll be putting it on. We put it on regularly so that we just want to get as many people to invest in real estate. My life mission is now to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. And hopefully you are one of them. The link will be in the description. You can definitely get that as well. But man, I'm here to help you. Now, here's what's great. I have a fantastic expert on that's not investing in single family homes or apartment complexes. He is investing and buying land dirt cheap, and then selling it for a lot more money. Now he goes into all the reasons why people want to sell and literally shares how he buys these properties. People are just glad to get rid of them. He buys them for, let's say, 20% of the market value and then goes and sells them for 100% of the market, market value. He makes money on that and he flips land. So he's a good guy. I was on his show. He's fantastic as well. Just a super, super awesome dude. And kind of funny enough, I don't know if I say this in the interview, but I listened to his podcast back in 2012 or 2013 when I was first starting my podcast. I was like, oh, let me listen to this podcast. He's pretty cool. Anyways, super cool. Have my friend on, Joe McCall, who is a fantastic land flipper. He's going to share us how he does it and how you can do it as well. All right, here we go. Joe McCall. Hey, Joe, good seeing you, man. Thank you, Dustin, so much for being on the show.
Dustin, glad to finally be on your show. I've been watching your podcast for years as well, and it's fun to see the consistency, the few of us out there that have been doing this consistently for a very, very long time. And I've been doing mine since 2011. And it's just something that once a week, man, for 14, 15 years now, I've been plugging away doing one or two episodes a week. And it's fun. I enjoy the podcasting world. I enjoy the hanging out and listening and talking to people that are in the podcasting arena as well. It's an honor to be on your show. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love talking to people who have two different loves, real estate and podcasting. Cause I don't know. It's just two things that I really enjoy doing. And, when I first started listening to your Real Estate Investing Mastery, so everybody definitely got to check out this podcast. You were doing wholesaling. At least that's when I first found you doing wholesaling. Now I know you've done other types of asset classes. Now with wholesaling, you've now changed, or at least you're now helping people to flip land, which is amazing. But what got you into the real estate investing in the beginning? Like before, you started podcast 2011, but like, yeah, how'd you get started in the real estate investing, and then how did you get into now helping people?
So like I started rich dad poor dad like everybody else, was getting interested in real estate from hearing about this whole concept of buying assets that produce cash flow. And that was a whole new concept. I mean, that was revolutionary at the time for me. And thinking about terms of assets and liabilities and how real estate is probably the best vehicle out there for building long-term wealth. So I started thinking about real estate, started reading a ton of books back in 2005, 2006. Saw some friends that were getting into it and doing well, and I thought this is amazing. So started buying a bunch of books and buying rental properties, and slowly, very slowly. And then at the market crashed in 08, 09, and I had about a dozen properties, and I lost them all to foreclosures and short sales, and started getting behind on my own mortgage. And so I was in a world of hurt. And I was an education junkie, right? I went through all of the boot camps that I could. I bought all the courses and programs, and we didn't have podcasts back then, but I'd go to the local real estate clubs and I would buy all the time education because I loved it. I loved the business and I wanted to learn as much as I could. But so my back was against the wall, hemorrhaging cash, and I needed to find a way to make quick money, fast money, now money, right? Like I had a lot of quote unquote equity, but you can't eat equities, as somebody used to say back then, right? It's all about cash flow. It's about cash in your pocket. And I was cash flowing a couple hundred bucks a month on each property, but that was just disappearing into vacancies and maintenance and repairs. And so like, and now all of a sudden I'm behind on these mortgages, and oh, it was a disaster. So I was doing everything wrong. And that's a whole nother discussion. But at the time, so like in 2008 and 9, you could buy houses for really cheap because there were a ton of motivated sellers. And so I started studying about lease options. Lease option is where you lease a property for a few years and then you buy it at the end. You have the option to buy it in the future. And I heard somebody say, I think it was one of the Rockefellers said, the secret to wealth is to own nothing but control everything. So I started thinking about that in terms of real estate. So like, what if I could lease properties with the option to buy them in the future? And then, okay, so I started learning about lease options. And then in 2009, I started flipping lease options, what I called wholesaling lease options, where I'd get a property under contract with the seller to lease option it for a couple of years. So I had it under contract. I'm the tenant buyer. But then I would sell that contract to a tenant buyer who was going to live in the house for 5 grand, 10 grand, and then I would get out of the deal. So I had it under contract, a lease option. I would sell that lease option for a $5,000 fee, sometimes 3,000, sometimes 10, and then I'd be out of the deal. And I started doing that part-time in 2009 while I was working at it. I was a civil engineer. And I started making more money doing that. I would do two or three of those a month. And this is great. I'm like, dang, I'm going to quit my job. So I quit my job in 09. I was making good money. And I started flipping lease options. But during that time, listening to podcasts, going back to podcasts, I remember listening to Pat Flynn was, we were just talking about him. He was doing a podcast back then. I think he was. There was another guy called Internet, these two guys that were had a podcast called Internet Business Mastery. And those guys actually were coaching Pat Flynn back at that time. And so I was watching Pat Flynn quit his job by doing podcasts. So in the back of my mind, I'm thinking I'm doing this unique thing called, I called it wholesaling lease options. I didn't invent it, but I kind of like, I saw other people doing it. And then I started doing it myself and started tweaking it. And then people started asking me, teach us how to do what you do. So even back then, before I quit my job, I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to learn this strategy. Maybe I can teach it and coach people in the future on how to do it. So anyway, fast forward a couple, 3 years, I'm doing a lot of deals. Now I'm also teaching and coaching people how to do deals. And then 2012, I see a ton of money starting to come back in the market. A lot of hedge funds start coming in, and there's this huge appetite to buy properties. And I start thinking about because I was doing lease options for 3 or 4 years at this time. And I thought, well, all this money's coming back into the market. I'm going to start doing some regular old-fashioned wholesaling. Just get a deal under contract and wholesale that deal, make a quick 5 to 10 grand.
And I want to pause for a quick second and share that honestly, I really want you to invest in real estate. Now, my new goal is to help 1 million people invest in real estate. So, two things I would ask from you. Number one, if you get anything out of this episode, please share it with somebody else. Just say, hey, you know, check out Dustin at Master Passive Income. He really wants to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. That's number one. Number two, I want to get you to invest in real estate. Get my real estate investing course absolutely for free. Text the word rental, R-E-N. T-A-L to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give you my course, show you how to find an area of the country to invest, how to build the business first. You know, I always talk about that, and how to find the right properties, how to make sure you're getting experts to do the work for you, and scale the business to where you're making $250 or more in passive income. Scale it up to quit your job. I'll literally get to you, or go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course. Obviously, it'll be in the description, but I really, really want you to invest in real estate, because the more that actual, normal, everyday people own real estate that are good landlords, the better everybody's life gets.
So we started wholesaling, and we were doing 3 or 4 deals a week, doing really, really well.
Where was this at?
And so this was in between 2012 and 2015.
Location-wise.
Oh, St. Louis, Missouri.
Got it.
And so then I started doing a lot of wholesaling, and then I started teaching wholesaling, and we started traveling. My wife and I started traveling around the world. We would go for 2 to 3 months at a time with my wife and our 4 kids. We were homeschooling them, and we were doing deals while in Europe for months at a time. We went on RV trips for like 3 months. So I was doing these deals, and I created a system called automated wholesaling, and I started teaching that as well. That was really good. But then fast forward 2020. And I wanted to, my teenage boys at the time were in their early mid teens, 13, 15 years old. And they wanted to start doing real estate, making some money so they could buy a car. And I was like, man, okay, that's awesome. But I didn't want to teach them houses. Like, they're smart kids, right? But they, it's like when you're dealing with a house, right? Like, you got a seller that's lived there for 20 years. Or a landlord that's put hundreds of thousands of dollars in this property, and they're getting bombarded by all this competition from all these other people that are paying ridiculous prices. And I'm going to train a teenager how to negotiate with that seller who's getting 5 calls a day and 5 offers a day, and then try to negotiate with that seller. Like, I don't want to throw them to the wolves. So during my podcast, I'm interviewing people from all doing all different things. And I'm starting to interview people that are doing vacant land deals. And, you know, there's this one guy I interviewed who, his name is Scott Todd. He's with Mark Podolsky and the Land Geek. And I interviewed him, and he was one of the first guys I interviewed on land. And he starts talking about how he had a corporate job, and then he saw the writing on the wall and knew he was going to get fired. And he started
this
flipping
This was 2019,
dirt.
Right?
About then, yeah.
Okay.
And then he made enough he for about after about a year, he was getting enough income from selling land deals on owner financing to replace his current job. And so when he did get fired, or however it worked out, it was no big deal. Like, he had enough money coming in from the notes, so he'd buy land and sell it on owner financing, and he was getting cash flow from that without all the normal typical landlord headaches and stuff. So I thought, this is really cool. And I started interviewing other people. And then I bought some courses. I bought 5 or 6 different courses on vacant land investing. And I started like consuming it as I was back in student mode again. And then I started actually doing it. And then I have a software that I use called FreedomSoft. I started customizing FreedomSoft for land. And I started talking about it on my podcast. And then my what we were doing. And then my boys and I doing this part-time over a couple of years on the deals that they were involved with. We did about $153,000 in profits doing land flips in about 3 or 4 different states, North Carolina, Florida, Tennessee. Yeah. And, let me be as clear as I can be. Florida, North Carolina, Oregon, and California. Those were the 4 states at the time. And like, I was thinking, dang, this is easy. Because with land, you don't have all this competition. You're not fighting all these other investors. The sellers are much more detached from the property than they are with a house. It's like it's just dirt. They haven't been out there in 7 years, and they just don't care about it anymore. They just want the money. They want to be done with it. And so we're buying these vacant lots without talking to sellers even. Like we're going direct to seller. We're not going on the MLS. We're going like we find out where is there a lot of demand. We're getting a list of people who own land in those markets, and we're sending them a letter or a postcard, which sends them to a voicemail. They listen to the voicemail, and then we send them an offer. Well, they leave a voicemail or send us a text. Before even calling them back, we just send them an offer at 30 to 40 cents on the dollar. And it's a numbers game. So one out of every 30 offers would get accepted.
How do you then send them the offer? Is it a text? Is it an email or?
Yeah, we send them offers three ways. We send it in a text, in an email, and in the physical mail. One of my original coaches, his name is Claude Diamond. He's still around. He's got a great YouTube channel. He taught me like whenever you send something to a seller, always send it in the mail because emails get blocked, spam, texts get blocked. Or they may see it, but in the midst of 100 other things, emails and texts. But direct mail, it's like no one's doing that, and it's like they're going to open that. They're going to get it, and they may like throw it away, but they're going to read it. Maybe they'll put it in their junk drawer, but like so then. When you follow up, you're following up doing something that none of your competition is doing. You're saying, "Hey, Jim, how you doing? I'm following up with that offer I sent you last month. Did you get it? Have you sold your property yet? Is it still available?" So we started doing that. Like, and then every, because this is what I learned from houses. Every 30 days, we'd send the same offer
The
again.
same offer.
And we'd follow, yeah, and we'd follow up every 30 days. And then in between the 30 days, we'd send a text, an email, and a ringless voicemail. Just relentless follow-up. I was like, okay, this is what we did with houses. Let's do it with land. So we started doing deals on average, one out of every 30, before ever even talking to the sellers. Now we would talk to them after they got our offer and they accepted it. Or they called us to like say, hey, I can't close in 90 days. Can we do 30 days? Or I can't do 15 grand. Can you do 17 grand? So this is great. We're doing deals without talking. And this is why my boys can help with all of this. So, and then I bring on some guys to help me, like on the disposition side and the acquisition side, friends of mine. And we start doing, just humming along a couple deals, three deals a month. Nothing major, but like way easier. And then we started like talking to the sellers before we send the offers. And then we went from an average of one offer out of every 30 accepted to maybe one out of 15, because now we're talking to them
So you
first.
call them up.
Yeah, so they get our postcard that says, listen, call this 24-hour recorded voicemail if you want to sell your land. They listen to the voicemail, they leave a message or they text us the reference ID from the postcard. And then we call them back and we just talk to them for 3, 4, 5 minutes. Ask them a couple questions about the property. Ask them if they had a price in mind. What were they looking for? And then we say, all right, well, listen, we'll send you an offer and just throw it away if you want. I often say this too when I'm talking to a seller. I'm probably not your buyer. You should probably just list your property with a realtor because I'm not going to give you full price. If you want full price, you need to list it with an agent. I'm just an investor, so I'm the easy button. If you want to sell it and get cash quick, I can help you. So it's very low key, low pressure. I'm not pushing or selling them on anything. I don't want to convince them. So I just make the offer, but I give them the options. And that's maybe one of the reasons why we do so many deals is because we're not trying to like be shady. We're just giving them their options and hey, listen, here we go. Here's an offer. So it's very simple and easy to do. And so it's been awesome. So we've been doing land now for 5 or 6 years. A couple 3 years ago, I started teaching it and helping people do it. I wrote a book called Flip Dirt, Not Houses. And I think it's a great way for people to get started because it's more automated. It's not as much like face to face. So you can do like 85, 90% of it online with a computer from anywhere in the world. Like you just send offers. You send postcards or you hire somebody to do cold calling or something like that. And then you send offers to people who raise their hands and you talk to them after they get the offer. Once you get it under contract, we usually make offers at 30, 40 cents on the dollar, sometimes 50 cents on the dollar, but so it's real cheap. Then we just send it to a realtor. We find a realtor that's selling a lot of land in the area and we say, hey, we'll pay you 10% commissions if you can sell this thing. And we try to sell them in 1 or 2 months. And that's how we do it. It's very simple to automate and systemize, much easier than houses.
Can you do this like all like nationwide?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are
So, but we
there
don't.
better areas
Yes.
than others?
Yeah. So if you just go to Zillow and look up Florida, and so it'll show you the whole state of Florida in Zillow. And then you go to solds, you switch it from active to sold, and then you switch the home type to just land only. And then you go down to sold in the last, just go down to sold in the last 6 months. And there's probably like, if you're doing this right now, there's
I'm doing it right
probably like
now.
how many thousands have sold, vacant lots have sold in Florida in the last 6 months? Probably, I'm going to guess 17,000. I'll
So I'm
do it
looking
while you're
actually
doing
where I want to invest is Tennessee right now, and looking at just all the very few lots. Well, I see a couple. There's not a ton, but I guess you're looking at, you said Florida has a good amount of spots.
Yeah, see, I'm looking first at the state level. All right, let's go
State
back
level.
6 months in Florida. Okay, 23,000. I said 17,000. In
Okay.
the last 6 months, all right, in the state of Florida, land only in the last 6 months, there are 23,234 vacant lots that have sold. And if we go to Tennessee, Tennessee's a good market.
Yeah, I backed out, and
Tennessee, there's
there are so many.
8,300,
Yeah.
8,300. Right.
Yep.
So if you look at this map on Zillow, you'll see a bunch of clusters of yellow dots, right? So, and you'll see a bunch of areas where there's no dots. So it's real simple. It's like imagine you're fishing. I don't like to fish, but let's say I did. And you've got the, what is it called? The depth finder thing. And you're looking down and you can see all the clusters of fish or trees or whatever it is, right? So you want to fish where the fish are. You want to go where there's a lot of yellow dots, where there's a lot of activity. And so if I'm looking at Tennessee and I'm kind of looking in this area, there's clusters where there's a lot of activity going on, a lot of vacant land. If I zoom in, all right, you can see in this area near Pigeon Forge, okay, bam, there's a lot of vacant land selling there, right? And so now I know if I get a deal under contract in this area of Tennessee, I'm probably going to be able to wholesale it. Flip it pretty quickly. Okay. And the cool thing with technology today is I can go in and I can see not, I can see an active state. I can go see what are the active counties. And then I can go down into the zip codes and I can say, all right, in this county, we have 20 zip codes. Here are 5 zip codes where in the last 6 months, there's been a lot of recent land sales. Ah, so then I go into those zip codes and I can pull a list of everybody who owns vacant land. Well, let me refine that even more. Okay, I see in this zip code, there's been, 100 transactions in the last 6 months in this zip code, in these 3 zip codes, whatever. And then I can go in and I can see, all right, well, what are these people buying? They're selling on average, or the median size property is like 2 acres. Okay, so I know the median size is 2 acres. The median sale price is 35 grand, let's just say. So now I go in and I say, all right, I'm going to pull a list of everybody who owns land in that zip code between, let's say, 1 and 10 acres that has owned it for over 10 years and live outside of that zip code. So they don't live right next to the property. I can pull a list of a couple thousand people. Again, it's in that I'm doing 1 to 10 acres. I don't want like little quarter acre lots, and I don't want big 20 acre lots. I want to stay in that median range. And they've owned it for a long time, and they don't live close to it. You could even say live outside of the state if you wanted. I get that list, then I send them mail. This is my favorite way to do it. You could do cold calling and text blasting and all that, but just mail is simple and easy, and it gets the best leads. The best quality leads. I'll send an ugly postcard that just says, "Hey, I got an important message about your 2 acre lot in XYZ County. It's important that you call me right away. Text or call this 24-hour recorded voicemail." And it's just a voicemail number. And the postcard doesn't even say why I'm calling them, but it's about their 2 acre lot in the city.
You don't say that you're looking to buy. Like you see those, I get lots of mail that says, "Hey, we buy ugly houses. We'll buy cash. We'll buy, quick closing and all that sort of stuff." You don't even say any of that.
Nah. Now, okay, let me rewind. In my letters, I do, but not in my postcards. I don't know why. It's just something that I've always done. Because, when I used to do a lot of direct mail in houses, and I used to be lucky if I got half to 1% response rate. So if I send 1,000 letters, I would be lucky if I got 10 calls. Okay. With land, I'm getting 3 to 5% response rates. So I'm getting 3 to 5 times more calls with land. And so when I send a postcard, it just says, "Hey, I got to talk to you about your 2-acre lot. Text or call this voicemail." If it's a letter, it's a professional looking typed letter. It's not no graphics, no images, just black and white typewriter font letter. And it just says, "Hey, if you want to sell your land, text or call this 24-hour recorded voicemail and we'll send you an offer." That's what that's. But the postcard drives them to a voicemail and there's curiosity, like, what is this about? So when they call that voicemail, it's like 30, 45 seconds, and it says something like this. It just says, and this is what I learned from doing houses, and I kind of brought it into land. It says, "Hey, listen, when you want to sell your land, normally you're faced with two choices, either listing it with a realtor or selling it on your own. But now you have a third choice. My name is Joe. My company and I were looking to buy land all over Tennessee right now, and we can close in as little as 30 days. So if you are tired of fake offers," because in land, a lot of sellers get fake offers. "If you're tired of fake offers and you'd like to just sell your property for a fair price in 30 days or less, please leave your name and number at the sound of the tone, and we'll send you an offer in 24 to 48 hours." And also says, "Leave that reference ID," because land doesn't have addresses many times. So each postcard has a reference ID, which then allows me to look it up. And so that's it. Then I get that voicemail. I call them back, talk to them for a few minutes, and I tell them, "Hey, I'll just send you an offer and look it over. If you're interested, call me back. I'll even send you the names and numbers of 5 realtors who've sold land in the area. Doesn't matter to me." So then
You're helpful
I
is
send
the
the offer
number one
with the
thing, the reason why you're
magic.
doing that.
Say again.
You're helpful. That's the reason why you're doing that. Yeah.
I'm not trying to browbeat them. I'm not trying to convince them that their property is
Yep.
worth less than it is. I'm just like, listen, I'm going to give you some options. Is that okay? Yeah, great. And I don't get anybody mad at me, right? Like, they understand I'm an investor. This is a business, but oh, they're being helpful. But here's the deal: 85 to 95% of my deals come from follow-up. I'm expecting a no. I'm expecting them to get mad at my offensive offer because, listen, my philosophy is if I've not made somebody mad by 12 o'clock every day, I'm not making enough offers. This is the number one rule in real estate. It's make offers, make offers, make offers. It's not location. It's make offers, make offers, make offers. And so if my goal is to make 5 offers a day, bam, I know it's a numbers game. And so I'm making offers every single day. And this is the magic because it comes from the follow-up. They say no now. No means not yet. Sometimes sellers, they just need time to cook. They need time to think about it. They get an offer from somebody else that's higher than mine. They flake out, back out of the deal. They try to list it with an agent. 6 months later, it still hasn't sold. And I'm getting calls back because, like, man, you keep on following up. I send them an offer every 30 days. I send them a text. I send them an email. I'm relentless. Nobody follows up more than I do. And they're like, "This guy Joe must really want my property. You know what? I'm just sick of it. I'm done with it. I don't care. Joe, are you still interested?" And that's how we do deals. We do a lot of deals. And now I've been coaching people who've coming from houses. They're like, "This is so much easier." They're getting 3 to 5 times higher response rates on their direct mail. When they're, I just yesterday, I was talking to this one guy who's like, he's a wholesaler for houses and he's got real thick skin, but he's like, "Joe, I'm just tired of people yelling at me all the time. I'm tired of these sellers getting so angry at me." And because, like, he's doing cold calling, right? He's doing all those, he's getting those letters that you get 20 times a day. And, he's getting these angry calls. And he says, "When I'm talking to a landowner, they're so much nicer. They're like, and I'm not the 20th call that they've got the same day, right? And they're calling me." So it's like, yeah. And so I'm talking a lot, but, like, this is why I love land. And the other reason I love it is you can sell these deals so quick. the people buy these lots because we're going after cheap land. And when we're going only into areas where there's already a lot of activity, there's already a high demand for land in these areas. And we just go in and we sell. When we sell the deal, we're cheaper than everybody else. So if everybody else is selling at 10 grand an acre, we're selling ours for 8,500 an acre. We're all about quick nickels rather than slow dimes. We want little base hits. We're selling these deals cheaper than anybody else. So we sell them really fast. We sell them in 1 or 2 months because we make an offer at 40 cents on the dollar and we sell it for 85 cents on the dollar. And
Do
so
you
that's
list it to, how do you list it?
we list it with agents, realtors. So in all of these markets where it's, you've heard this, you've seen this, it's getting illegal, immoral, and fattening to wholesale, right? So we'll go in and we'll just take it down. We'll just take the property down, buy it, because we're buying these things for 10 grand, selling them for 20, right? So we'll buy it and list it with a realtor that's already selling a bunch of land in the area that already has buyers. We'll just list it with an agent. Sometimes we'll get on the phone and actually call neighbors. We'll call other investors who are buying land there. And many times we can sell it without listing it with a realtor. But yeah, it's like I can't stop talking enough about it. Because you think about this, like the United States, it's huge, right? 90% of the United States, maybe 85%, is vacant land. 10% of it is like urban houses, city, There's over 3,000 counties in the United States. And there is so much land out there. Yeah, you could argue that, okay, more people are doing land now than there was 5 years ago. But still, when you compare it to houses, there are five times as many investors going after houses, 10 times as many investors going after houses as there is for land. So there's very little competition. And when you're really good at these simple, basic things like I'm talking about, consistent marketing, talk to sellers, just ask them questions, send an offer to every seller you talk to, and follow up every 30 days with every offer that you send. You will do deals.
So when you follow up, is it a combination of text, phone, and letters?
Yes. So I send them an offer in the mail day one, and then day 30, day 60, day 90, I'm sending an offer in the mail every 30 days. After a few months, 4 or 5 months, I might send, a different kind of an offer, or maybe just a postcard, or maybe just a letter. I'm constantly sending something in the mail. And then every 30 days, kind of in between, I'm sending a text and an email, maybe a ringless voicemail. Like, that's it. Like, and some of this, it's so funny. I bought a bunch of courses on this stuff, and I started implementing a little bit from this and a little bit from that, and I started learning my own things. But a lot of what I was learning is just from talking to and interviewing other people on my podcast that were already doing land deals. And they were telling me these things and showing me what they did. And it's like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So I'll start doing that. And then I test it and tweak it and make it better. And I figure out, hey, that doesn't work. And I get a lot of things from my students in my community. They're like, yeah, we started doing this. Like, I got one guy in our community, his name is Jose. He sends about three or four offers a day. He sends about three or four offers a day. And what he does is he has a sweet spot where he likes to buy land, and he looks for properties that are not landlocked and are not in floodplains, that are between like 0.3 and 0.5 acres. He's got a real sweet spot dialed in, and he knows exactly what he wants. And he will send three or four offers a day to three or four different sellers. But he'll give them a cash offer and an owner financing offer. So he'll say, hey, I'd like to buy your 0.4 acre lot. If you're interested, here's a cash offer and here's an owner financing offer at a little higher price. And he'll do three or four deals a month from that. So he's sending, let's just say, 15 to 20 offers a week. So that's 60 to 80 offers a month. And he's doing three or four deals out of that. And the seller will call him. And because he's looking at each individual property one at a time, so he's not sending stupid blind offers to like 1,000 people at once. These are more intelligent offers. He's just doing that. And so I learned that from him. He was using my software, but I had never thought about like sending just one or two or three at a time with the multiple options on them. And so now what he's doing is like he's buying these deals with seller financing. and selling them on seller financing. So he's creating a wraparound mortgage. So he's buying it from a seller. So if his cash offer is 10 grand, let me give you into perspective, simple number. Let's say it's worth $20,000. It's a little quarter acre lot in Florida, half acre lot, but it's worth 20 grand. He's giving them an two options in an offer. He calls it a letter of intent. So he's sending a $10,000 cash offer, which at 50% of value, and a $15,000 owner financing offer with payments of, let's say, $150 a month over 5 years or 10 years. Okay. The sellers are saying, okay, I'll do the $15,000 offer because they want payments over time for tax reasons, for just they want cash flow. They like the idea of getting cash flow. And every other offer they're getting is $10,000, $8,000. This is a $15,000 offer. Boom, let's do that. So then, okay, now Jose's got this deal under contract for $15,000, $150 a month for 10 years. Okay. He then will turn around and sell it. It's worth 20 today. He'll sell it for $30,000 on owner financing with payments over 10 years. So now he's collecting 300 a month and he is paying 100, 150 a month. So his cash flow is about $150, $200 a month for each of these
And
deals.
he doesn't have any expenses.
No money in it. He's not giving the seller a down payment. His offer to the seller is zero down, right? And maybe 5% interest. So it's all negotiable. But his initial offer is I'll give you this higher price with zero down and principal only payments. So there's other things you can negotiate with that. You could do a higher price, or like you could, if they want interest, you could lower the price a little bit. If they want a down payment, you could lower the price a little bit. But anyway, he's buying it on really good terms and he's selling it on good terms, but at a higher price. Because like banks will not lend on little small vacant lots like this. Banks won't lend on cheap land. So when you are offering a deal on owner financing to an end buyer, that's a great deal. They don't care about the price. All they care about is that monthly dollar amount. And so that's called a wraparound financing. So you create a new mortgage. So when he buys the property, he's taking title to it. Okay. He's taking title. The seller becomes the bank. He's paying them a monthly fee. But now when he sells it, he's selling it on like a land contract or a contract for deed or something. So he's not transferring the title until they've made all the payments. But so like, yeah, I'm learning things all the time from my students, from people that I interview on my podcast. And it's great. This is why I love land so much.
So I know most people are going to jump right to, hey, Joe, I have no idea how to find these. Because, when we get coaching students, everybody always has two limitations. Number one, money. How do we get money to find, or sorry, finance the properties? But then
Yeah.
how do we find? So I know everybody's going to be asking that question very quickly. How do we find the properties? Now, money-wise, let's say if you're buying a house, or sorry, a property for, I don't know, like you said, $10,000, more than likely somebody might be able to work hard to get that money. So it's not like you're have to get a $200,000 loan or anything like that. But yeah, so let's start with the finding of this vacant land. How do we go about doing that? Are there services we got to pay for? Is it easy to find these things?
Well, I use a software called FreedomSoft, and I don't own it. I wish I did. A guy named Rob Swanson owns it, and he's allowed me to customize it. So I have a Joe McCall Signature Edition of FreedomSoft, where it has all my marketing in it, all of my contracts, all of my checklists and scripts and websites and all that. So, but anyway, what I do with, I pick a county, and I go into FreedomSoft, and I just say, give me the top zip codes in this county. And it'll give me the top three, four, five zip codes out of the 30 where there's the most activity. And then I'll say, okay, select those five zip codes. And then I'll say, give me a list of everybody who's owned vacant land for over 10 years that lives outside of this zip code. So they don't live near the property, they live far away from it. And it'll give me a list of 1,000, 5,000, 800 vacant land owners. And then there's a couple things I can do for that. And I can do this all in FreedomSoft. I will select them all and I will move them to a list and I will schedule out 500 postcards a week to that list. Okay. So in 4 weeks, I've mailed the whole list a postcard or a letter. You could also go in and skip trace them all and just cold call them if you wanted to. Okay. The other thing you can do inside of FreedomSoft is you can you have they you have you can get access to the MLS. So you could say, and this is a great strategy that I use. You say, show me all of the realtors that have vacant lots on the market for over 6 months that haven't sold yet. And so, if a vacant lot in this hot zip code where there's a lot of activity, if it's not sold yet, there's something wrong with it, and it's probably overpriced. They're just asking too much money. So I will text blast and email blast all of those realtors, and you'll be shocked. Like in some of these areas, there's hundreds of vacant land listings that have been on the market for over 6 months. And so I'll send a text blast or an email blast to all those realtors, and I'll say, "Hey, I see you've got this 4-acre lot. It's been on the market for a little while in city area. I'm an investor. How negotiable is your seller on their price?" That's what I'll just ask. I let them know I'm an investor, and I ask them, "How negotiable is your client on their price?" Or I might say, "Is your client negotiable on their price?" And so that does a few things. Number one, it tells that realtor I'm an investor, so I'm not a full price retail buyer. And if they respond back, "Yes, the seller is negotiable," all right, we got some room to negotiate. I was teaching this the other day to a large group of 400 or 500 people or so. And one of them actually did this. They emailed a realtor about a property that was listed for $90,000 and had been on the market for over 6 months. $90,000. The realtor responded back just with that question: "Is the seller's negotiable on the price?" And they said, "Yeah, they would take 50." Okay. Just like that. Now, I don't know if 50 is a good deal or not.
Well, no, you know you're supposed to, you should offer less than that. If they're already dropping from 90 to 50, they might take 25.
Yes, you never know. But that's the great thing about this vacant land. They just don't care about it as much as they do a house, right? And so, I told the guy, "This is awesome. That's a movement in the right direction, but it still may not, that may not be a good deal." Because if you think about it as an investor, that property, I'm probably going to need to sell it for 50 myself, which means I'm going to have to buy it at half of that. I'm going to have to offer it like 25 grand. So that's fine. Like the reason I love working with realtors, it's not because I'm hoping to get that deal. I'm going to have to buy it at like 25 cents on the dollar, right? Or 25% of what they're listing it for. So I'm not expecting to get that deal, but I want a relationship with that realtor now. I want to start networking with them. Now that I have their phone number, their email, I'm following up automatically in FreedomSoft every 30 days. "Hey, Mary, how you doing? Is that property sold yet? Do you have any other off-market properties that might be available? I'll pay you 10% commissions." These realtors hate listing vacant land because it takes forever, and they're only making a small little commission from it, right? And so I'm now talking to them. I'm saying, "Hey, listen, maybe you can represent me on this deal and get both sides of the commissions, but I'm probably not your buyer, to be honest, because they're asking 50 grand for it. I'm looking at sold comps here, active comps. I'm probably going to need to be at like 20 grand, and they're asking 50. This isn't probably going to work. But listen, do you have any other off-market properties right now that I could buy? I'll pay you 10% commissions on any vacant land deal you bring me that meets my
Wow,
criteria."
a good
Then
idea.
they're like, "Whoa, well, tell me more. What kind of deal are you looking for?" "Well, I'm looking for properties between this size and this size. I need to buy it at like this range. And if you bring me a deal that I buy for 20, I'm going to sell it for 40. I'll pay you $2,000 commissions." Like all day long. They don't want to list these properties. So that's the magic of this, right? So that's
So
how
we
I
got,
find sellers. I prefer
yeah.
direct mail, but I also work with realtors.
That's smart. So I've been using PropStream for a little bit, and it's not, specifically made for land, but they have a good amount of stuff in there. So you were saying that you like to find land where the person is not living in the same county, maybe out of the state, or how close does that person have to be living to the property?
I don't care. But when I'm pulling a list, in PropStream, you're going to need to do probably out of county. So there's usually three different things. Like you could say an absentee owner means they don't live on the property. So the mailing address is different than the property address. But then they could be out of zip code, out of county, or out of state. So it just depends on if you're using PropStream. I think you can't do out of zip code.
It just
You
says
can in
county and state.
Yeah, so you choose out of county. It's not a big deal. But yeah, you get this list and then you could just send them letters, send
That's
them
so awesome.
postcards.
Man, this is so exciting, especially my wife and I, we want to buy land. We'd love to get, I don't know, 50, 100 or more acres and just get land so we can have hunting and hopefully fishing if there's a lake there. Basically just acquire, start acquiring land. And when I was like, oh man, I'm gonna have Joe on the call. I can ask him, how do I buy land for just for myself, let alone flipping, which would be great.
So I would tell you the same thing. I was just helping a friend close by where we are. He wants some land for himself. And I said, oh, well, okay. So what do you want? What zip codes? What sizes? I could pull a list of about 1,500 records. And I told him, I said, if I were you, I would send a handwritten letter. And there's companies you can hire that does handwritten letters on a handwritten envelope. And I would send something like, make it real personalized. And I would send it from your wife. What's your wife's name, Dustin?
Melissa.
Melissa. So I would say in handwriting on a yellow letter legal pad, a letter to those 1,500 landowners. And I would say, hi, my name is Melissa. My husband and I are looking to buy some land in the area. If you have any interest in selling, please call my cell phone. Cell phone, thanks, Melissa. Okay, that's it. And if you send a letter from a wife, from a woman, and with that kind of a thing to it, it gets a lot higher response rates. And you'll get probably 10% response rates on that letter. So if you send 1,000 of those out, you'll probably get 100 calls. And then you just talk to them. And if it's a property you don't like, maybe you could wholesale it. You get it under contract and then flip it. So it just kind of depends. I've done that for houses before. My wife and I were looking for a house in a particular area. When my credit was jacked up from all of those foreclosures and stuff, we sent out letters to homeowners who owned properties in the areas we wanted that were at least a certain size, a property with a certain number of minimum bedrooms. And we sent out letters like that saying, my husband and I are, my name is Victoria. My husband and I are looking for a house that we could rent for a few years and then buy. So if you're interested in maybe talking to us,
You're
If
already
you're
given the
maybe
terms.
interested, please call us. Well, we wouldn't be talk on the phone.
Yeah, well, no, sorry. You've already given them the terms. Like, we want to
Oh,
rent it
yeah.
for, yeah. Then you,
And so
those are much.
that worked really, really well. The problem was when they would call, if we didn't like the property, if it was too, like in this area, there's a lot of hills, it's very hilly. And so if they had a real steep drop off on their backyard, we would tell them, well, we're not interested. So then I would tell them, hey, it was a little difficult, more difficult to transition it into a an investment property, right? Because they would say, oh, this sounds like a bait and switch. And I would try to tell them, no, we really are looking for a property for ourselves, but this isn't going to work. So making that kind of a transition is hard, but yeah, it's a great way to find a property for yourself.
What services would you suggest for that? Because a handwritten notes, especially from a female, sounds much better than coming from me, or even a postcard, especially when it's something that we want to. I would even want to say, we have five kids and we're looking to, have a homestead, or we're looking to have land for our family. Just make it a little more personal. Are there services? Because
Yeah.
I think the handwritten letter is a great idea.
The services that I use, like usually you need to do it in bulk. FreedomSoft will not do, I'm looking up a website right now. Yeah, printgenie.io. FreedomSoft will not do handwritten envelopes. They'll do a handwritten letter, but the envelope will have to be a window envelope with an address inside of it showing, right? The mail that works the best is where it's a handwritten letter and a handwritten invitation style envelope with a real stamp on it, right? And one of the tools that I've looked at and used a little bit is a printgenie.io is one of them. They can do like smaller one-off letters for you, and they can be handwritten envelopes, all of that stuff. So it's pretty cool. Check out printgenie.io.
Yeah, I'm
And
looking
there's
up
a
right
hundred
now.
others that will do it for you as well. But the thing I like about PrintGenie is you can do like just send five at a time or something. There's no minimums required. Most direct mail companies have minimums. Like you have to send at least 1,000 or 500 or whatever.
Dang, I'm going to check that out, especially being able to buy land. I'd love to be able to get, I know, 50, 100 plus acres. That would be really awesome, especially if you're saying, oh man, we can get 30% of the value.
Well, one thing you got to remember when you're buying land for yourself or you're buying a house for yourself, it's going to be hard to get those discounts. You can, I'm not saying you can't, but like, if you find a property you really, really like, so it's like the reason I can get properties at 30, 40 cents on the dollar is because I'm making 100 offers every month, right? I don't care if they say yes or no. But when it's for yourself, you do care, right? And so it's going to be harder for you to make a ridiculous lowball offer, and that's it, that kind of a situation.
Man, I love it. I love it. Now, when you're looking to purchase the properties, do you prefer doing the seller financing? Do you prefer buying out cash, right? Do you make more money either way? Like, what's the best route that you've seen?
I typically always make just a cash offer because it's fast and easy, but more and more, I prefer give them an option, give them choices. Here's a cash offer and here's an owner financing offer. So this is what you could do with these houses that you're, I mean, these vacant lots for yourself. You could give them a cash offer for 50 cents on the dollar and an owner financing offer at 80 cents on the dollar. And as long as it's good terms, you know, zero down 15 years, maybe amortized over 30 years with a balloon in 15 years. Maybe you start off with 0% interest. And if they come back and say, well, you know, I want a down payment, or I want an interest rate, or 15 years is too long. You can give them whatever they want, but then you just negotiate the price down, right? So you could say, well, I could get you 5% interest and 5% down payment if you want. But the price, instead of, you know, 85,000, the price needs to come down to 75,000. So it's up to you. What's more important, price or terms? And I'll give you whatever terms you want if you give me the price I want. I'll give you whatever price you want if you give me the terms that I want. So you can negotiate that. So when you offer seller financing to the seller, now you have like five things you can negotiate. You can negotiate the price, the down payment, the interest rate, the terms, when payments start. Like you can negotiate a lot of things. When you're just making a cash offer, the only thing you can negotiate is the price. But with owner financing, now you can negotiate five or six different things. I could give them full price. If the property's worth 100, I can give them $100,000 on owner financing, zero down, you know, 200 bucks a month for 30 years.
Well, how do you know what the
Doesn't.
value of the property is? It like per acre? You just figure out what the normal going rate for an acre is?
Yeah, so I go to Zillow and Redfin. And just look up, and I have a tool, a software. Is anybody, can I give it to your audience for free?
Absolutely, please.
If you go to joemccall.com/Zillow, joemccall.com/Zillow, it's a Chrome extension that you can only use on Chrome on Zillow. And you look at Zillow, you pull up your property in the center of the map, and you say, and you keep on zooming out until you get all of the other land that's for sale in the area or has recently sold in the area. And then you click the button in the Chrome extension, and it'll scrape all of them. And it'll give you the average and the median price per acre for all of those properties. And then at the bottom of the pop-up is a little offer calculator, and it'll show you what the property is worth and what you should offer for it based on how much profit you want out of the deal.
That's
Yeah,
awesome.
it's free.
And for everybody, Joe and McCall, if you don't know how to spell it, it's MCCALL. So MCCALL.com/Zillow, correct?
Zillow, yeah.
Yeah. Man, that's
And that
so
will
cool. That's a
redirect you to a
did
page.
you
Yeah,
did you
you
guys
just.
did your team develop
I built it using AI.
You're gonna show me
There's a.
have to show me how to create one of those. That's awesome.
Yeah, it was insane. I just built it. I was up to like 3 a.m. one morning using AI to do this thing. It's really cool.
That is so cool, man. Well, I appreciate you giving that to everybody. Now, I know there are so many more questions that everybody's going to have, and they definitely, you guys need to check out his podcast, Real Estate Investing Mastery Podcast. Like I said, I listened to it back in 2012, 2013. But Joe's been on there for so long, just like myself, of just trying to help people. you're trying to be beneficial to everybody else, because you know we love investing and we love helping people. So you combine them both with podcasting and coaching as well. But you have an awesome challenge, Flip Dirt Challenge, correct?
Yeah. So there's a couple things I'll send you all. I have this book you guys can get for free, just pay shipping and handling. It's called Flip Dirt, Not Houses: How to Create Monthly Cash Flow by Flipping Vacant Land in 5 Easy Steps. You can actually get this book on Amazon, but you can just go to flipdirtbook.com, flipdirtbook.com, to get this book. And then I also do a challenge. I do a 5-day class called the Flip Dirt Challenge. So if you go to flipdirtchallenge.com, I think that's it. Let me just check here. flipdirtchallenge.com. You might need to do www. You'll see the next time I'm doing the challenge, and it's free. So you can go through this 5-day class where I teach how to flip land. You can get the book at flipdirtbook.com. And my podcast is called Real Estate Investing Mastery. You just go to any podcast platform, do a search for Joe McCall, you'll find it. Or go to my YouTube and just do a search for Joe McCall, and you'll see tons of videos I have on there teaching this land strategy and how we do it. The thing that most people will get the biggest benefit out of is the 5-day challenge that we do. It's a 5-day class teaching you how to do it from A to Z, and it's a lot of fun. It's free.
That's fantastic. I know.
We do have an upsell in there. There is a VIP available. If you want VIP for extra calls, coaching calls, and stuff like that.
Well, getting your questions answered is terrific. Like, yeah, with my challenge that I have to help people to get cash flow in single family homes or residential, four units and below, it's just great seeing so many people join and then have questions on a VIP call. So I love it. And so, Joe, I'm so glad you came on. So everybody, you definitely need to check out Joe. Do you have any social media that you wanted them to follow you on?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. A little bit of on Instagram.
You need to get on Instagram. So that's the cool place.
A little bit, I know, but I'm not that cool. But if you just search for Joe McCall anywhere, you'll find me. I'm probably, YouTube is a good place to go to follow me on YouTube. Joe McCall. I do at least a video a week. Yeah. YouTube, my podcast, get my books. You can Google me. You'll find me.
Love it. Love it, Joe. Well, hey, next time I'm in St. Louis, let's go play golf. But I appreciate you coming on the show.
Let's do it, Dustin. Any excuse I can get. If you want, yeah, let's go play some golf. I love that.
Good deal, buddy. Hey, thank you so much. Everybody check out his podcast, Real Estate Investing Mastery Podcast, as well as his Flip Dirt Challenge. It's going to be amazing for you to, I mean, shoot, a lot of people ask me, well, Dustin, how do I get money to buy real estate that makes cash flow? Like, how do I have cash just to start? This is a great way to do it.
Oh my gosh. So let me tell you something real quick, and then I got to go. But I have never had an easier time raising private money than I do with land. And it's really simple reason. Like, I'm only borrowing, when I borrow land on a deal, I a couple, three things. I only need like 10 grand to buy a deal, right? Maybe 20 grand. And I never borrow more than 50% of the value of the property, conservatively. So if you think about it as an investor, right? So many people, like, they have 20, 30, 50, 60, 100 grand sitting around just in the CDs or whatever, earning 3%. And when I can offer 15%, 10 to 15% on a first position note at 50% loan to value, and I only need like 25 grand, like, I got people begging me to lend them, get them to give me their money. And there's a few things that's really important. I know you know this and you preach it and you do it, but like, whenever I need money for a deal, it's easy to find, because I'm only buying good deals at 50%. And so I never let the private investor send me their money. They send it to the title company, right? And the title company prepares the promissory note and the deed of trust, and it's all secured and recorded in the county records, right? And so that's how it works. But these deals are well protected. We close with title companies, we get title insurance, and like, the worst thing that happens is I default and the investor gets this deal back, and they actually now have an asset that's 50% of what it's worth, and they can turn around and sell it and make even more money than I was going to make. But that never happens. I'm just saying, worst case, that's what could happen. So if you have ever tried to raise private money for a big multifamily, houses and things like that, you can do it, and you've got great reputation, Dustin. You've got great investors. You can do it. But like, it's a little harder to find investors that have hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? But when you're doing little land deals, you're buying for 10, you're selling for 20, you're buying for 25, selling for 50. It's a lot easier to find the private money on these.
It sounds like it, especially when they have that asset locked down. Like it's the title company's taking care of everything. And if something bad happens, they get the property, the land, which
Yeah.
is, and it's not like you said, 50 grand or $100,000. I mean, it's a lot harder for somebody to part with that. But if somebody's parting with, let's say, eight, 10, $15,000, okay, I could take a chance on that.
Yeah. So it's, I tell people all the time, like the money, if you get a good deal, the money will come. If you're
100%.
trying to raise private money for your deals, houses or land, if you get a good deal, the money will come. Don't worry about that. But yeah, that's another reason why I love land so much is it's a lot easier to use OPM, other people's money, right? Yeah.
Love it. Joe, thank you so much for coming on the show, man. Good seeing you again.
Dustin, good talking to you. I appreciate you having me. Thank you so much.
And that is it for today. Go ahead and get my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777, RENTAL to 33777. You can also join my Real Estate Wealth Builders group coaching. Get all my courses. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next show. See ya.